Our scripture, first scripture reading for this morning will come from the book of Isaiah. We'll be reading from Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 9, and it is found on page 635 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in fatness. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call nations that you know not, and nations that knew you. Shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Our New Testament reading will come from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And we will be reading verses 1 through 9 of the Gospel of Luke, and it is found on page 906 of your pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. There were some present at that very time who told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all of the other Galileans, because they suffered thus? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Lo, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Let it alone, sir. This year also, till I will dig about it and put on manure. And if it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For some reason, this morning I was thinking that today was the first day of daylight savings time. So I was quite delighted to learn this morning that the daylight saving time is actually next week. And so I had an extra hour of time, which is always something that's nice to have. We all know that life is short and time is a precious commodity, and so it's always delightful to be told that you still have some time. We all like to hear that we still have time. When we are young, we often take time for granted, but the older we get, the more appreciative of the fact we are that we still have time. Time to do things that we always wanted to do. Time to be with friends and family. Time to accomplish some of the things that we've always wanted to accomplish. It's always nice to know that we still have time. When I was in seminary, I had a professor who had gotten cancer. Her whole life was put on hold. Everything was put in abeyance. The time with her children and with her family. After months of treatment, the cancer was gone, and I remember how happy she was to know that she still had time. Time to spend with her family, time to pursue her career goals, time. Time to live, time to give God thanks for each day that passes. God gives each and every one of us a certain amount of time. None of us know how long that time is, but it's time to get our act together, time to turn towards God, time to bear fruit that is worthy of who we are as the people of God. We often see God as someone up there in heaven looking down upon us, ready to punish us for whatever we do wrong. But we are reminded that God doesn't want any of us to perish. God does not desire that any of us suffer calamity and misfortune. If anything, God gives us time to get our lives together. God is constantly calling us and seeking after us and hoping that we turn our lives around while we still have time. In our text this morning, Jesus has been talking about time. He has told those in the group that they don't know how to interpret the time in chapter 12. He tells them they know how to read the sky and they know how to read the wind, and they are able to interpret things that are going on in the ground, but they cannot interpret the time. And someone who is present wants Jesus to know that they know what time it is. They've been looking at the news and they know that the times are bad. And so they ask Jesus, "Jesus, Have you heard the news? Have you heard the news about those Galileans who were on their way to worship, on their way to Jerusalem, how Pilate, the governor of Judea, had them killed and mingled their blood with their sacrifices?" Kind of like some of the stories that we read and hear about today. Those who posed the question to Jesus were trying to make some sense of it. What does it mean? Why did it happen? Certainly, these people must have been sinners of some kind. And Jesus says, in effect, stop thinking that way. Stop trying to make God responsible for this tragedy. Don't think that those people were any worse sinners than you. In fact, the same thing is going to happen to you too, unless you repent. Jesus actually says that twice. The same thing is going to happen to you too, unless you repent. That was the bad news that Jesus had for them. The good news was that there was still time. Time for them to turn their lives around. Time for them to repent. Repent is one of those religious words that you hear quite often if you hang around a place like this for very long. It doesn't just mean feeling sorry for the bad things we have done, though that's important. We all need to have a contrite heart. We all need to ask for God's forgiveness. We all need to feel sorry for what we have done. But repentance means much, much more than that. Repentance means turning our lives around. It means going in a different direction. It means seeing life and living life in a whole new way. It means embracing a different kind of future. Jesus often said that the kingdom of God has come near you, therefore you can repent. In other words, you have seen a different kind of future. You have seen God's future. Therefore, you can turn your lives around and begin to live into that future. I like the way that Frederick Buckner defines repenting. He says that repentance means coming to your senses, being able to see and hear and feel and perceive for the first time. And that's what Jesus was telling the people in the crowd this morning. Unless you come to your senses, unless you begin to move in a different direction, bad things are going to happen. Terrible things are going to happen. Tragic things are going to happen. Unless you repent, you too will perish. But the good news is that by the grace of God, there is still time. It's important to understand what Jesus was warning against. Jesus was not warning against something that God would in fact do if the people did not turn around. What he was warning against, what he was trying to avert, are the kinds of tragedies and misfortunes that we often bring upon ourselves individually and collectively because of the hardness of our hearts. When I was a kid, my mother used to warn me about running into the street. She didn't mean that if I kept running into the street that she would punish me, though that certainly did happen. But what she meant was that if I kept running into the street, the chances were that I was going to get hit by a car. When the doctor says that you need to change your diet or you're going to perish, he doesn't mean that if you don't change your diet that he is going to get you. What he means is that if you don't change, you're going to suffer a heart attack or a stroke. And when Jesus calls us to bear fruit worthy of repentance, he doesn't mean that God is up there waiting and watching to get us whenever we do something wrong. What he means is that we are sleepwalking towards death. We are colluding with forces and powers of death. And unless we turn around, unless we go in a different direction, unless we begin to live life in a whole different way, we're going to invite disaster upon ourselves. One of the disasters that Jesus was trying to avert in his day was a military confrontation with Rome. Jesus knew that there were those who were going to try to take the kingdom by force, and he knew that it was going to be a disaster. In chapter 19 of Luke's gospel, Jesus comes into the city of Jerusalem and he weeps for the city. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wish you understood the things that make for peace. All three of the synoptic gospels have Jesus predicting what is going to happen. The temple will be desecrated. and torn down. Jerusalem is going to be turned into an ash heap. Thousands of people will be killed. Thousands more will be taken into captivity by the Roman overlords. Jesus says, when you see these things beginning to happen, run, head towards the hills, because it will mean that there's no more time for Jerusalem. And of course, everything that Jesus predicted came true. 40 years after the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jews would indeed rebel, and the Romans indeed would come down, and the events would unhurl just as Jesus predicted. There would be many Jews who would perish in the same way that the Galileans perished at the hand of the Roman sword. Unless you repent, unless you come to your senses, Jesus tells them, you too will perish. But what does this passage of Scripture have to do with us this morning? What does it have to do with you and with me? Well, it has a lot to do with us, because we too live in a world where we are still sleepwalking towards and colluding with the forces and powers of death. We too live in a world that has inclined its ear away from God and needs to come to its senses. We too have embraced a way of life that can only lead to death and destruction, a way of life that is built on selfishness and greed and violence and crass immorality. Oftentimes, the signs of the times are all around us, but we fail to be able to read them. We fail to be able to interpret them, but they're there. We see and hear of wars and rumors of wars in faraway places, of nations being torn apart by ethnic and religious conflict. We hear and see of young people who are gunned down in school. We hear and we see freakish weather patterns that leave death and destruction in its wake. And we often say to ourselves, maybe these things are happening because these people are different from us. Maybe it's happening because these people have sinned in some way. But the word to us is still the same. Don't think that these people are any worse sinners than you. The same thing will happen to you. The same thing will happen to us if we don't come to our senses, if we don't turn our lives around, if we don't embrace a different kind of future, if we don't repent, we too will perish. If we don't repent, terrible things will happen even to us. But that, of course, is the bad news. And I'm not here to bring bad news. I'm here to bring good news. And the good news is that there's still time. There's still time for us. There's still time for you. There's still time for me. There's still time for our communities of faith. There's still time for our nation. There's still time for us to come to our senses and embrace ways of life that lead to abundant life. The cult of the self, which is our real religion, cannot bring life. Life only comes by inclining our ear towards God. There is still time for us to listen to God, still time for us to return to the Lord, still time for us to forsake wickedness and unrighteousness. Still time. What will we do with God's time? What will you do with the time that God has given you? There's still time. Will you bear fruit worthy of repentance? Or will you squander it on old ways of living that do not satisfy? What will you do with God's time? When I was a kid, we had an apricot tree that was right in the middle of our backyard. And for the 7 years that we were at that particular location, the apricot tree only bore fruit 1 year. Don't know what the problem was, but we only had 1 year of apricots. Jesus tells us that God is not a big heavenly tyrant who is ready to punish us, but God is like a gardener who has a tree that has not borne any fruit. It's just using up precious space and nutrients. The only thing that it's good for is to be chopped down and thrown into the fire. But the gardener refuses to have the tree cut down. Instead, he prunes it and cultivates it. He gives it what it needs to grow, because the gardener wants more than anything for this tree to be able to bloom. He wants more than anything for this tree to be able to bear fruit. And that is how the Lord is with us. The Lord wants to give us what we need and able to grow. The Lord wants to give us what we need so that we might be able to bear fruit. The Lord wants nothing more than that we be able to bear fruit as the kind of people that God has called us to be. God has given us this wonderful gift of time. If you're here this morning, you have time. Time to bear fruit worthy of repentance, fruit of love and peace and justice. But with that time comes a warning. God will not strive with us forever. God is patient, but God will not strive with us forever. God is generous, but God will not strive with you forever. God loves you, but God will not strive with you forever. If the tree hasn't borne any fruit this time next year, then cut it down. Let's pray. Eternal God, you have given us time. Time to be the people that you have called us to be. Time to be the community of faith that you have called us to be. Time to be the nation that you have called us to be. Lord, help us not to squander your time. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.